Welcome to, well, that fucked me up.
It really did.
A podcast with Luke Coulson.
And Kyle Wise.
And each week we're going to be talking to real guests about their amazing, often traumatic, life-changing events.
Focusing on stories of survival, hope, and overall triumph.
Which is flipping awesome.
Yeah.
Because we're all about that. We're all about listening to people's stories about adversity and trauma and crazy stuff. I think there really is something for everybody. There's many, many topics, many, many guests, people that really have got through some extraordinary things. Please share the love, share the show, get in touch, follow us, subscribe, click. We're trying to make it easy and open for people to discuss things that may normally feel tricky to do so. We've been on an extraordinary journey and we're glad you can join us. Enjoy the show. Welcome to another episode of Well, That Fucked Me Up. I'm with your hosts, Luke Coulson and...
Kyle Wise.
Hi, Kyle.
Hey, Luke.
Today, we're joined by Dr. Petro, who is in the in Ukraine. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm in Ukraine now.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Hi.
So... You're a doctor. In what field are you a doctor?
I am ENT specialist, ear, nose, throat.
Wow.
I work hard every day because I have my own medical center. This is the reason.
So you have your own medical center in Ukraine. What part of Ukraine are you in? And tell us what the situation is over there in terms of the war.
Yes, I live now in town Cherkasy with 300,000 population, and it's 100 miles from Kyiv.
Wow.
Lower, but near the Dnieper River. And all is okay here, except that... government began to shut off electricity. Sometimes they thought about this before, that winter will be hot.
Yeah.
With heating and electricity. And also was a big trouble 3 weeks ago. A Russian missile destroyed a hotel in the central part of my town, three blocks from my medical center.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Oh, my God.
So yes, it's really terrible.
How we're going to talk about your story and how you came to the U.S. and then you went back to Ukraine. But before we do that, how often is there missiles? How often is there bombs and missiles where you are?
Every day we see bombs, missiles, or drones, like iron drones, wow. You know, autonomic planes, little planes,
yeah.
Like kamikaze. Yeah. They terrorize using these rockets every day. And sometimes I see them in the sky. Also you can hear a noise like a motorbike because these rockets they produced using motorbike engines.
Oh my gosh!
Gasoline yeah. engines. It's so stupid because they are extremely cheap.
Yeah,
and that is why they can produce them a lot. But the problem that they are cheap, but our defense system, like your United States Patriot, they are expensive.
Yeah.
our soldiers try to hit them using guns.
Right.
And also, so we try to do everything to protect our town and to protect Ukraine. I try to help also by myself, because I treat soldiers. I try to treat them for free. Sometimes they pay, but not a lot.
Oh, wow.
Also, I want to say that I have four nurses in my clinic, and two nurses from that part of Ukraine. So their houses are fully destroyed.
Oh, my
they
gosh.
Don't have anything, really. Yes, yes. So it's terrible, and I try to support them.
Wow. I have some questions. You have children, small children as well, correct?
Yes, I have three children.
How are?
Oh my gosh!
And I want to talk about. You came over to the U.S., right? You came over to the United States when the war began. Is that correct?
Yes, I left Ukraine. 1 week after war began.
Wow.
And it was the first day of spring, 1st of March, and we decided, immediately we decided to move to the border, because we thought that Russian army can occupy, can cut a part of Ukraine, and we will be under occupation.
Oh, shit.
And it's very terrible, because they, in such a situation, they can kill us.
Yes, of
really.
Course.
They can, for example, it's like a genocide.
Yeah.
Genocide.
Yeah.
That's why we decided immediately to go to the border, and I can legally travel because I have three children, and it's a right. It's easy for me to travel because people, especially men with three children and more, has a right to travel abroad.
Yeah,
and I'm free from army.
Ah. Because you're a doctor, and or because of the children?
Because I have three children.
Wow. Kyle, did you have a question?
So,
yeah. Can you explain the first day when Russia invaded?
My father, also, he is a doctor, and we worked in our clinic, and he decided to go to the office alone and say, stay with the family and children in house, and look for news. And we looked for news on TV all day, and it was extremely exhausted and scary. I was in a grocery store and check is it enough food, because I thought that if war began, food will be in, you understand,
yeah, it will run out,
less and less,
yeah.
So we were in shock. We didn't do anything, like waited for anything.
Wow.
And of course, first days we thought that Ukraine will be defeated.
Yeah.
Because we didn't know that our government, our army prepared.
Mm.
But of course, and it sometimes it was. We thought that we have a stupid army, stupid government, because during those days, Russians really destroyed some storages with weapons, with Western weapons, like javelins, some, you understand? So,
yeah.
NATO gave Ukraine some help before the war.
Right.
And also, we looked in the news that Russian tanks drive in Kyiv. Yeah. And I called my friend, he's a politician, but pro-Russian politician, but it not depends on this. Now he is not pro-Russian.
Wow.
And I asked him, Ruslan, how much time Russian army need to go to my town?
Yeah.
And he say 7 days.
Oh, shit.
7 days.
Oh, my.
And we decided to move because no one know.
That is so scary.
And I really want to say you that I am very lucky and I am very happy that I have a place to return.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm assuming many... I'm assuming many places just got flattened.
United destroyed fully. Fully destroyed. And I know many people in Los Angeles, people from Shepherd Church, for example, because I like Shepherd Church. It's in Port Orange, mega church.
Yeah.
And we organized a little Ukrainian community and maybe 30, 40 people of Ukrainians.
Wow.
And many of them from occupied territories. And they decided to build a new life in United States.
Mm.
I want to say that Los Angeles in my heart, and I tried to organize my family to move to United States maybe in future because I know that war will be for years.
Yeah. We want to discuss you guys coming over to the US, to LA. When you arrived at the border, did you realize that was where you were going to go? How did you decide to go to LA, and how did you travel there? How easy was that? And what was that like coming to LA?
First, you know that I crossed the border of Ukraine 3rd of March, and then I moved to Prague.
Wow.
And we were in Prague for 1 week, but it was really cold weather and everyone was ill. That's why I called to my friend, he live in Delaware, and asked him what to do. And he say, move to Mexico, because many people do in such way.
Yeah.
And Mexico has, Ukrainians can travel to Mexico without visa.
Mm.
And then ask for political asylum.
Yeah.
So we traveled to Mexico, then to Tijuana, and then I want to say that I love Mexican people. They are really kind.
Yeah.
Because they advised me how to, what to do. And they told me not to do anything illegal, only legal.
Yeah.
Because in future, if I do something illegal, it will be for all my life.
And that's
in
going
United
to
States.
And that, yeah. And amazingly, so
it's big trouble. And people, I ask Mexicans, ask for a car. I say them, I can buy a car to move across the border?
Yeah.
But they say, no, man, it's illegal.
Wow.
Go to the border and stay on your knees and ask to help.
Wow.
And we have 13 people, 5 adults and 8 children. We came to the border in Tijuana and it was 13th of March. It was a Sunday morning. And officers asked, are you Ukrainians? And I say, yes. And how much people? I say 13. And they say, okay, you must wait.
What happened next?
Yeah, they were in shock, really.
Wow.
They were in shock because I gave them 15 passports. Like, but they with this my 15 passports and say, okay, take them.
Wow.
Wait, please, wait will be okay.
Wow.
And near the border, I met a few Russian, Belarus, and Ukrainian people.
Wow.
And they waited for, some of them waited for 7 days.
Wow.
For many days.
Wow.
And they had like bad place, like not bedroom, but sleeping places.
Yeah.
Near the border.
Wow.
Like homeless people.
Yeah.
I never see homeless people before.
Wow.
In Ukraine, we don't have homeless people.
Wow.
And these people say to me, no worry, families with children,
will be allowed. Will be allowed through.
They give you a help. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And so then was few days, few nights in San Diego. And then we decided to move to Los Angeles because San Diego, according to my feeling, it was not easy to find something to rent.
Right.
And because Los Angeles is very big town.
Very big. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, wow. So this is what an incredible story. And the most amazing thing is you saying there's no homeless people in Ukraine. Like you've got a war going on, but obviously from your time in LA, you'll know there's such a huge homeless situation here. I mean, you know, it's terrible. It really is. So you've gone from Ukraine to the border to Prague to Mexico to San Diego, to Los Angeles. What happened next?
During our stay, where we stayed in San Diego, we found few kind people on playground near the ocean.
Wow.
And they helped us to find, it were three families. My family with three children.
Yep.
My sister family with three children, and my father with his wife and two children.
Wow.
And yes, and my sister with three children now she lives in San Diego in Rancho Santa Fe.
Oh my goodness.
She continue living in for more than 1 year.
Yep.
With one woman.
Right.
The owner of beautiful house, very big house, and she helped my sister to buy a car, and her children, they study in beautiful school, they have swimming lessons, dancing, and they continue living good.
Wow.
But sometimes my sister cry about that. It's very hard life.
Of course.
But I say, don't worry.
Yeah.
All will be good.
It's sad, isn't it? To be thrown from your home, from everything you've ever known and everything you grew up with. It's very, very hard. It must be very, very hard.
Yes, but she feel good because she English teacher. She were English teacher in Ukraine, so her English is perfect.
Oh wow!
And it's good idea to live in San Diego. But my father's family and I decided to move to Los Angeles.
Yes.
And we landed. We arrived to Balboa Park,
mm-hmm.
And we met people, Russian people, but they emigrated many years ago.
Yeah,
and they say, "What happened? white people with a lot of children, with a lot of bags, stay in the center of playground, center of park, and." What are you doing here?
Wow.
Like, and our women, they told that about our trouble.
Wow.
That we are homeless, that we are refugees, and we found apartments. One woman ask to help, and they gave us her apartments in Encino.
Wow.
Yarmouth A for 2 weeks.
Wow.
And then?
Yeah.
And very interesting, lucky situation that this woman works on Paramount.
Oh, she does? And, amazing.
Yes, and she's Russian speaking because her parents from Ukraine, from Soviet Union.
Yeah.
And then I asked Michelle, let's make some maybe little movie or documentary. I told her a story, my idea about our travel, about our trip. Mm. And she found another man. He is a director of Geffen Playhouse, Gil Cates.
Mm.
And his father is a well-known Gil Cates, who organized the director of Guilds of America.
Wow.
So we met a very big people.
I'll say.
Big sharks.
Yeah, talk about, yes. Wow. That's some, yeah. That's hats rolling in some high places there.
Yeah.
So some people who want to be actors come to LA and never meet those people.
Yeah.
I know that. I know this. That is why I returned to Ukraine, because I am not an actor. And my wife say, but we are actors. Let's do something. But I say, I am not an actor. Sorry.
Oh my God. So you managed to get some accommodation. You're meeting some people in this society. What happens next for you guys? Because I'm assuming you're thinking about your working. Obviously, once you get settled, you have to work to support your family. And that started to become a problem in LA, in the US, right?
You know, we worked hard because we studied. I began studying my medical exams.
Mm.
And I finished one, but I need to finish two more exams. That is why I continue studying now, and I plan we decide to move to United States. Mm. Try to pass.
So you have to. You're a doctor and ENT in Ukraine, but you have to pass different exams to do that in the USA. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. So tell us about what happens next. You're finding accommodation in LA.
This Mr. Gil Cates, his best friend lives in Hidden Hills.
Sounds nice.
After Encino, they decided to settle us in Hidden Hills.
That's nice.
And we lived for one month. We lived in Hidden Hills.
Wow.
It's
like I've got goosebumps. I picked up my 13-year-old son from a birthday party a few months ago at a house in Hidden Hills, and there was a security gate, and then another security gate, and then another security gate, and then the house is like, so wow, that's not a bad place.
Yeah,
but you know that people afraid of us, and they thought that we are like homeless.
Wow.
And that we are I don't know, criminals.
Yeah.
That is why I don't like life in Hidden Hills, because they are very.
I think the word is
extremely
like,
rich.
I think the word is the English word is snooty, right, Kyle? What's the American word?
Yeah.
It's looking that even whether you're Ukraine or whether you're from anywhere else, if you're not rich and American, right? Often in these neighborhoods, people, they're very wary of you and they wonder what you're doing there. And yeah, they think you're criminals. So that's not nice.
Yes. But we met few very good neighbors, really good, really helpful. Of course, our family all the time, we need help.
Mm.
Because it's because of a lot of people, children first.
Yeah.
But then when our vacation in Hidden Hills were finished,
mm.
It was a trouble to find a new place to live.
Of course.
And I asked other people, I asked neighbors, and they didn't, and they told me that they don't know what to do,
mm.
how to help.
Yeah.
And I told to my family that we will live in a tent, in tents.
Oh, wow.
But near Hidden Hills.
Oh, my gosh. That's
yes,
terrible.
Because our children studied in Round Meadow in Hidden Hills School.
Oh, my and, gosh. You thought you were going to have to live in tents in Hidden Hills, and the kids were at school now in that area?
Yes, wow. They were in school.
Wow.
In that area, and we decided what to do because we must. They sold that house where we live.
Mm.
It was a very old house, mm. and they destroyed this house after us. You understand?
Right.
Was very, very old house.
Got
with
it.
A very big territory.
Got it.
And they sold few weeks earlier, so mm. we lived only 3 weeks.
I see.
In Hidden Hills. But it was beautiful because pool, community pool is amazing.
Yeah.
School is great.
Wow.
I travel inside this community with golf cart.
It's like
golf cart.
I liked earlier on you called it a vacation. You said our vacation in Hidden Hills came to an end, and it's like it.
Yeah, and we drive very, very quickly, like very.
Yeah. You drive, what's that? You drive the golf carts too fast.
Racers, like race.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah.
So then what's next?
Yeah.
What happens next? Where do you go from Hidden Hills, and what happens with your living accommodation?
Again, Gil Cates. He decided to send a message to one realtor group,
yep.
like Viber group
yeah.
Of Los Angeles. And another people from Berkshire Hathaway decided to help us, and they found a house in Pacific Palisade.
Nice.
So near the ocean.
Wow.
And it was our last house. We lived for 1 year in Pacific Palisades house.
Yeah.
With in really beautiful place. And we have a lot of books. A lot of toys.
That's
and
amazing.
Also we met Hegel's family, and
yes,
they are really our best friends and best supporters.
So we'll come to them in a minute. For our listeners, we'll talk about the Hegels, who are really helping out with fundraising and helping you guys now that you're back in Ukraine. But before we finish with that, tell us what happened after the Pacific Palisades. And your children were at school there, or in the Pacific Palisades school?
They studied in Pacific Palisades school
yeah.
till May, and 2nd May we had a ticket to Prague.
Wow.
Again, because I have a car. Toyota, and my car stayed in underground parking in Prague for 1 year.
Wow.
And I miss my car, and I was so happy.
So why did you decide to go back to Ukraine? You couldn't sustain working. There was no work for you in LA. Was that what the situation was? Or did you miss Ukraine? Or what was the circumstances?
You know that first I felt that people from Ukraine rapidly need me.
Mm.
And my my education and my experience, because my father, he's a doctor with 30-year experience, and he showed me all his secrets.
Wow.
In treating people. And so every day during my stay in the United States, I read just from our patients, from our clients,
wow,
that where you are, we are ill.
Yeah.
Help, please.
Wow.
Because, you know, it's one of my rooms. It's,
yeah,
resting room, and I have a beautiful medical center.
Wow.
And medical experience, medical habits, they can. My father, if he continues staying in United States for one more year, he will be on pension. Like,
yeah,
he will finish his his work.
Yeah,
because it's memory.
Yeah,
you understand.
Yeah, yeah. So he's getting old, and his memory is fading, and things like that.
Yeah.
Hi.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Is that Olga?
Hola, video.
Hi.
Oh my gosh. So we're not live, but I'll just, so our listeners know, Petro's wife Olga has just joined us. Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
We've just been going through the story, and here's where we are. We're nearly finished. Got about 5 or 10 minutes left. We've got to the moment in Petro's, in your story, all of you, that you've decided to leave the Pacific Palisades. Your 1 year is finished, and Ukraine is calling. So we've just got to that part of the story. So Petro, and you just froze at that point as well. So you were saying that your father was getting old, and that you felt your patients and the people back in the town where you're from needed you. So, next step.
Excuse me, can I ask Olga? Olga, did you want to return to Ukraine when you was last day of in Los Angeles?
I'm afraid so much because I'm saying my husband, no, I didn't want to come back.
Yeah.
It's crazy, you know? Idea.
Yeah. I think that our listeners will agree. They'll think, wait, you were in Pacific Palisades in LA. You'd made it here, right? Your children were at school, and now the decision to go back to Ukraine. It's an amazing decision.
You know that...
It's crazy, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, but we were so high. And I told to Olga, for example, that we will fall down. Will come a time that we will fall down, and it will be not happy.
Yeah.
That is why I say better to move to Ukraine, to look around, to see what, because we have a property, we have a car, we have a lot of some few projects, and also people need us.
Yes.
And now we think every day about United States, about lovely Los Angeles.
Mm.
But now we continue to be strong, and we try to organize, to be organized here.
You think?
And we work every day. You see that medical code and Olga also.
Yes. You guys look amazing. And again, for our listeners, you guys are both in their doctor's uniforms. It's an amazing story. And I suppose when you go back to Ukraine, you talk about your house, your car. It's home, right? There's something about it being your home.
It's home. But first, siren, when we arrived to Ukraine, Russia began to bomb Ukraine every day.
Wow.
And Olga was very scary.
Yeah.
She was afraid of this very much.
Yeah.
And very often we go to the basement underground.
Yeah.
because sometimes we our government they have a like Telegram Viber group, and they send messages with attention.
Wow.
And sometimes attention is serious,
yeah.
And we must go underground because it's really dangerous.
Wow.
For example, as I told you that 2 weeks ago was a strong bombing of our town.
What about the kids? They go to school every day. How do they feel? How do they feel about the site? What do they know? And they obviously have to understand what's going on, right?
They go to school every day, but they asked us what happened. They asked, we don't want diet.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
But our children, mental health of our children is good enough. But yeah. People who were all the time in Ukraine, they are a bit.
Yeah, of course.
Especially children. They cry a lot because we have clients, little kids, that yes, and they are unstable.
Ugh.
It's not easy to find a connection with them.
Yeah,
to treat them.
Yeah,
they like very emotional.
Yeah, the trauma. I think it's trauma, right? Traumatized.
Mm-hmm. Trauma, yes,
PTSD, PTSD,
yes.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's hot. It's horrible, and I guess you know we can see it on the television, but we can't imagine what it's like. I came from England, from London, which is lovely, to live in LA, which is lovely, and I still had a really hard time. You know, I still felt like I was from a different country, and. I can't even imagine what you guys went through. So let's just talk about how did you meet the Kegels? You met David Kegel in a children's party, I believe, in LA.
Olga met him.
Wow.
And he... Because
our little son friendly with his
Rothko, with his grandson.
Yeah.
Grandson. Yes.
It was a party, birthday party of their classmate on Malibu.
Why Malibu?
So it was a first and last our party on Malibu in our life. Because it's really only one time a life can be.
Do you think, for our listeners, the Kegels, that's a family, David and Doug, who is in Oregon. So they've set up, right, a whole, and I have to...
Our daughter, Bogdan.
Yes, Kegel, when we met him...
We lost you, Olga.
I found that he's very... Kegel, David, is a very kind man.
Yes.
And he was very interested in our... situation.
Yes.
What happened? So where we live, what we do, and also that is why he decided to help, because if it's not easy with my wife and with my children to go and to walk when we were in United States.
Yeah.
My wife told me that no walking.
Wow.
No walking.
Yeah.
Because she afraid of being alone in the home.
Wow. That's not a good way to feel, is it?
She told me to study medical.
Yeah.
To study exams.
Yeah.
But not walking. And then, we stay on the water for 1 year and decided to move to Ukraine because no money. Only donation, only help, only asking for help.
Yeah,
but
no
we
way to
don't,
live.
Don't like it.
No, of course. You need you need to be making your own living, right? It feels after a while you keep on, this is free and this person can lend you this and then you're staying here. And begging for money is no way to live.
and we must work hard. Yes.
All the drive to the ballet lessons where my daughter Bogdana.
Oh, you're picking up the kids from driving, ballet.
Yes.
I love it. And so let me just plug the website. So there is a website which is Sustain Ukraine Together. Sustain Ukraine Together. And that is a website where our listeners or everyone who's hearing this story can find information about you guys, your story. There's a blog on there. There's all sorts of snippets of media. But most important, there's a Donate Now page. There's a GoFundMe. And the GoFundMe is raising money to get warm clothes, blankets, and is it medication as well to you guys?
Yes, and also I try to help refugees and me, and of course Hegel brothers, and Canyon school community, and Santa Monica people, and Los Angeles,
wow,
and also people from Oregon. They really help. And I share all these clothes, blankets, different stuff for school. I share with between refugees. Yes, medication, of course, because it's medication in Ukraine very expensive now.
Well, David mentioned that one Advil ibuprofen was $2, and I can have a tub of ibuprofen for $5.99, 500 tablets maybe. So
yeah.
All our listeners, please go onto that website. I'll put the notes, I'll put the website in the show notes as well. But anything helps. And also what he was saying was the shipping is the crazy thing now, because there's only, if we ship by freight, by water, it's 3 months.
Now I in ballet school.
Oh my goodness. This is amazing. Look at that. It's an insight into the ballets. Hi.
Hello.
Oh my gosh, it's so incredible to see a whole different life happening. So how old's your daughter?
Yes.
Daughter is good, but you see a usual life between rocket attack. Because sometimes they terrorize.
Oh my god.
But not often, maybe a few times a month.
Oh my goodness.
In our town. Yeah. But some towns they bomb every day.
This is just incredible. Well, I think we have to wrap up our conversation. We have had an amazing chat with you. Thank you so much for coming on. We should do another conversation again, because I feel like this is still, I feel like this is not the end of your story. Do you have plans? One more question. Do you have plans once you've studied to get your certificate to come back to the US, or you don't know?
I dream come back to USA every day.
Yeah, she dreams to come back to USA every day. No pressure.
Yes. We have a little plan to win a green card lottery.
Well, anything. I'm going to say goodbye. I wish you all the best of luck in the whole world. Stay safe.
Okay.
It's been brilliant to meet you. And again, Sustain Ukraine Together and .com. And now I'm looking at the kids in the car leaving the ballet class in Ukraine. What's your town called again? What's your town?
Cherkasy.
Your town.
Cherkasy.
Wow. Well, have an amazing evening.
Cherkasy.
Have an amazing evening. And so lovely to meet you all. Hello.
I'm in LA.
I'm all the way in Los Angeles over here. Hi.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Nice to meet you all.
Thank you.
Bye. And right after this episode, please head over to the Afterthoughts section. That's the next episode on this podcast. Usually it'd be Kyle and myself having a chat about this episode that you just heard, which was amazing. But we've actually got David Cagle, who was mentioned in the podcast, who is a wonderful chap who is telling us all about the drive and the charity that he set up, with donations that are helping send things over to Ukraine, and just personalizing the fact that these folks really, really need help and really need some warm clothes for the incoming winter, medication, so on and so forth. So head on over to the Afterthoughts section, and we'll see you next time.